Started our Advent season with our first message, and so we were looking at Isaiah 9, and we're kind of unpacking how the news of a Savior coming brought hope to that people. If you remember from that passage, and if you haven't, there's a lot in it. Even in the first seven verses, you come to find out kind of the bondage that Israel was in. They were really kind of going through it because of the sin. That they were kind of rebellious, running from God's will. And so, again, in God's discipline, it's always meant to move them into being restored. And in the midst of all this going on in front of them, there is this message of hope that the prophet Isaiah brings to them. And so we kind of looked at different ways of how that message bore itself out. But the big idea was this, that God with us brings hope. And so that was one of the first things that we celebrated yet last week. And so this week, we're going to look at a little bit of a different passage. And so we're going to look at how when we have love in our hearts, we have the very presence of God in our hearts. And some of that has already been borne out through the scriptures that we were reading this morning in 1 John. That will come back into view here as we get into the sermon here this morning. But with that in mind, I would just invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 1. Kind of nice, that's like sorter in the middle of your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have the scripture on the screen behind me. But I'm just going to ask you to stand while we read the scripture this morning. But I'm going to just pray first before we get into this. And we're going to be in verse 18 as you're finding your place. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are a personal God and that you love us and desire us and you just want to be known. I really believe that out of all the things that you have created in this world, that we go back to Genesis, I believe you created something there in mankind that would just love you for who you are. And in the process, you have been very intentional in making your presence and who you are known to us. And so, God, as we get into your scripture this morning here, as we continue to go through this Advent of preaching, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word. That you would reveal all truth, unlock it for us. I mean, I know we have probably read these passages for years, but I pray, Lord, that we would continue to receive something new, Lord, and that you would meet us where we're at. And we ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When the mother of Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to the son, and he called his name Jesus. You may be seated. So just a little bit of a historical context on marriage back then. You know, engagement to be married, the rules were different, right? Today, if someone's engaged and things aren't going well, the encouragement is probably to break it off before it goes too far. And there's no shame. I know. You go back 20 years ago, there probably was pressure, and there's probably some remnant of pressure too. You know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that invitations have been sent out, maybe people have started to send gifts and things like that, and so the idea of a couple breaking off before marriage, the social pressure is just kind of saving face. However, things were a little bit different back in Mary and Joseph's day. An engagement for them was an binding agreement, and typically an engagement would take about a year, and if you wanted to break it off, it actually resulted in a divorce process, an engagement. So apples to apples, not the same as we are today. No one goes through divorces through breaking an engagement off. But here, they took engagements incredibly serious. And so what we're told here is now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child from the Holy Spirit. So I want you to kind of put yourself in Mary and Joseph's shoes. In one sense, can you imagine the conversation Mary's about to have with Joseph? Think about that for a second. Joseph, I need to tell you something, honey. You might want to sit down for this. I'm pregnant. Don't yell. Let me explain. It's really kind of a cool thing. God came to me and the Holy Spirit came upon me. You know, it's his baby. That's the good news. Now, can you imagine what's going through Joseph's head? Don't give me that Holy Spirit stuff. I saw that guy checking you out of the well. Right? I mean, when we read scripture, sometimes I think we read right past some of the emotions that are going on in the passage. And I think in Joseph's eyes, he's probably having a moment here where he's thinking, look, either Mary's not pregnant and she's crazy that she would come up with this story, or she is pregnant and she's lying. In his mind, a rational person is thinking through this process here. And then, again, to dive down a little bit into Joseph's mind a little bit, then the questions start coming. You know, not beyond how did this happen, but what are people going to think? Like I said, engagement was the real deal. To break off an engagement, you have to get a divorce. It's not like people, this is a secret. This is public information. And now he's trying to think about, like, how do I explain this? And I got to tell you, there's probably fear going on both sides. However, as we were studying this morning downstairs in Luke 1, Mary, if you read her account when the angel comes to her, incredible, an incredible person of faith. But again, it's natural for the questions to come. How do I explain this in a way that makes sense to people? And you got to remember, at this point in time in history, the Holy Spirit deposited himself selectively, right? It wasn't until we get on the other side of the cross and at Pentecost does the Holy Spirit come and is now available to everybody. So the concept of the Holy Spirit is not completely unknown, but this is different. It's different than him coming upon the kings or prophets and things like that. This is now just an individual who doesn't necessarily check any of those boxes. And so, again, when we think about this, and here's where I'm going with this. I think there are very few people, I only know a couple who truly don't care about what others think of them. I think most of us, I think we live somewhere in that thought process of how do I look, how do I come off, you know, in school. I remember my kids, we have these conversations now, Dad, did you have Nikes? No, I couldn't have Nikes because I couldn't afford them. And I'll tell you, for a social status, that was a big deal growing up. Why did I have this other brand? And I thought about those things as a kid. You know, I didn't have the coolest things. And I remember putting the pressure on my parents to get me those things. Maybe, you know, we don't have a ton of kids here, but again, it's still something to think about. You know, how does my hairstyle look? Am I funny enough? Do people like me? Another thing I struggle with is that my mom is from England. I don't know if a lot of you guys know this. My dad met her in the Air Force when he was stationed over there, married her, and brought her back to the Bronx, New York. That was her first exposure to America. But one of the things my grandmother from my mom's side would do every Christmas is we got a care package from England. And what was it? It was a knit sweater. And I was supposed to wear these sweaters with pride. There's two things happening. They weren't the coolest. Of course, I went to school thinking about, like, how do I explain this to my friends? And then, two, as I got older, she always thought I was the same size and age. So things got tighter on me, too, a little smaller. And I worried, what are people going to think about me? And maybe for others, maybe you think about, am I attracted enough? Do I fit in? And for this younger generation, how many likes am I getting on my Instagram selfie? We become so easily obsessed with what others think of us. And so here we are, we're reading about Joseph's situation. He was going to have to battle with what other people's opinions were. And he knew that right off the bat. That was definitely in view. The questions were going to come. And so some of the things that he would have to deal with, think about this. If he's the guy that got her pregnant, or she was pregnant with someone else, if he divorces her, would another father even want him to marry his daughter that would come next? There would be that question of who's the father? And this cloud would stay over him, right? He was a carpenter. So would it impact his trade at that time? You know, as a side note, about a month ago, I did a message on how do we deal with offenses, and we looked at Mark chapter 6. And if you go back and read that, that's that classic place where a prophet's not accepted in his hometown. But if you look at what they were offended about in those verses, is that they started naming off. Actually, verse 3 says, is this not the carpenter? They didn't say, is this not Joseph's son? They did say the son of Mary. Joseph's not even mentioned. The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. I mean, they brought Jesus down to a level of which they understood. So Joseph, what we're reading about this morning here in Matthew 1 is just the start of it all. Right? So what does Joseph decide? Let's take a look at this. Verse 19 says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. I believe that Joseph, being a just man, was trying to do something noble here. He wasn't going to the place where he wanted to expose her or put her to shame. And in that culture, he could have had her stoned. He didn't want to go there. I think on some level, Joseph really did love Mary. I don't think he would have been in this engagement in the first place if he didn't love her. And so he's dealing with a lot of stuff here, a lot of emotions going on here. And I want us to see what happens in verse 20 here. But as he considers these things, so this is a great line here again, before we jump into, behold, the angel of the Lord showed up. Maybe he's at the end of a long day, he's trying to figure out what to do, it's nighttime. How many of you guys have been in a situation where you're just mulling something over, it's something on your mind, you know, and I'm not talking about, it's something that really is troublesome to you. And you get to that place where of exhaustion, you just fall asleep. Joseph's trying to figure out what is my pathway forward with this situation. And it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I know dream is to mean anything but what I only understand about dreams. He's asleep. Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. What we learn in verse 20 is this, that God's presence directs Joseph on how to love Mary moving forward. God's presence directs Joseph how to love Mary moving forward. And this really leads to the only point again that I have for this sermon, and it's this, God with us brings love. God with us brings love. Not only does Joseph get direction on how to best love his wife, but then he says this about the child to Joseph that Mary is carrying. He goes, look, she will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Not only is Joseph directed in how to love his wife best, but he says, by the way, this child that she's going to have, he's going to show the world what real love looks like. He's going to show the world what real love looks like. And so a couple of passages here that we're very familiar with, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 15:13, Jesus' own words, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then the passage that was read in the lighting of the candle this morning. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Three things those passages unpack for us. This is what real love looks like. Other people-centered, right? Sacrificial, and in Jesus' case, literally his life. And then there's this word, appropriation, that comes up. And this word is really a word, other than hard to say. It means taking the wrath of another. Jesus steps in, takes the wrath of God that he has for us in our sin. Others first, sacrificial, taking the wrath. That's what real love looks like. Now, I don't know what you have seen demonstrated on TV or the world, the things like that, when it comes to love. But that's real love, what we see in the scriptures. Now, we know this as followers of Christ. We're called to be a witness for him, an example for others to see what Christ is like. And that seems like an impossible task sometimes. We're about to come on Christmas. All of you guys have probably been part of family gatherings that have gone good and some that have gone bad. Some of the hardest people to love are in our families. And we're about to, in just a couple of weeks, probably get together with some of those people. And it doesn't matter how many times you've gotten together with them, they just know the nerve or the button to push every time. Now, for my family, I can tell you stories, but I'm not going to run them through the mud. I'll run myself through the mud. The other thing that happens at Christmas time, at least in our family, are board games. There are those who like the rules, and those who like to bend them a little bit, make up things. There was this one particular Christmas years ago, we were playing the game Scattergories. Have you guys ever played that game? Well, you can't use, I think, proper names or something that, company names, things like that. And it's me and my wife, Kim, and my sister and somebody else in our family were playing, and I decided to use the word OXO because it was a bullion cube, and I needed the word to work with the letters I had and things like that. And of course, that erupted in a big fight with me walking down some street in North Carolina. I had no idea where I was because I was that mad that my sister decided to pick a side and get involved. It's crazy the things that we get angry over. You know, I'd like to say that I've learned something from that experience, but what I've learned is don't play games during Christmas with family members. But my point is this, how do we do this? How do we love like Jesus loves? How do we keep it about somebody else? How is it that we sacrifice in the moment what we want or desire? And in some cases, how do we get involved in such a way where we deflect the anger of maybe somebody else? I mean, this is what's going on here. But here's the key, and it comes in verse 9 of that last passage I read in 1 John 4. It says, in this, the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. There's the key. To do this on our own strength, our own power, our own understanding, it's not possible. It's not possible. We have to live through him. It can only be done through his strength. So as we think about this, right, how are we going to be able to do the hard things in life? How are we going to conquer the fears and love the person who's hard to love, the person who broke our heart, the child or parent who disappointed you, the boss who cheated you, the friend that broke your trust, and love the people the way Jesus did? It can only be done in and through Christ. It can only be done. Look, we're celebrating and remembering today the love of Jesus. And that's the big idea. God with us brings love. Both Matthew and John teach us this, that in love, God does not shelter us from our fears. He didn't remove Joseph out of the situation. He didn't remove Mary out of the situation. Fear was there. Rather, if we're willing, right, he takes us by our hand and he helps us walk right up to the fear and conquer them in love. If we're willing to take his hand, he's willing to be there with us and walk right up to that fear and help us conquer it in love. Both of these passages here in Matthew and in 1 John bear this out. We have a choice to make. We have a choice. Just like Joseph, as he considers these things, as he's mulling things over, should I do what people want or should I do what God wants? Should I show the love of God to others or not? He has a choice. We have a choice. To love like Christ or to love like something else we learned in this world. Look, we're going to be confronted to either love as Jesus did or to love as the world does. And we're going to be confronted with a lot of amazing opportunities to obey God. Even some situations that seem to be costly. Or we could go the easier route and try to win the approval of people. But we need to understand this, and this is true of all life. It will come down to who we are more concerned about pleasing. We can't divorce ourselves from that. It's either about pleasing God or it's either about pleasing people. And what I see in Joseph's life here is that he gets to a place where he says, you know what? I believe in the power of God's love above the opinion of the people of the world. And so take a look at how we conclude here. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. So what are we learning about Joseph? There's a lot of questions I have about Joseph. Actually, I just had lunch with a few friends this past week, and I asked the question, I said, in your opinion, who do you find the most interesting person in Scripture? And beside the obvious question, Jesus, or answer, when I think about what I know about the different kings and prophets and things like that, Joseph's very interesting to me. We don't really get a lot about him. We don't. Was he there when Jesus was being crucified? As a father, if my kid was in distress, I'd want to be there. Maybe he couldn't be there. You know, I've heard it thought about that maybe he had already passed away at that point. You know? What was that like? Did he... You know, for all the things we hear about Mary's involvement and things like that, where was Joseph? But the scripture here this morning does give us a little glimpse about who Joseph was. And so rather than try to conceive things that probably aren't true about him, let's stay to the passage here. What we know about Joseph is this. Joseph was a just man, we're told in verse 19. And we know he chose obedience that bears itself out in verse 24, to love Mary as God had directed him. And we're told that he married her and stayed by Mary's side and raised Jesus as his own. That's what we know about Joseph. So what does this all mean for us? What's our takeaway? It's pretty simple. World-changing love often starts with ordinary acts of obedience. Think about, again, Joseph, the decision he made. He made a choice to be obedient to God, to love Mary in a way that he was directed. And he raised a Savior for the world. That is pretty incredible. There's nothing greater than Jesus. There's nothing greater than Jesus' love. World-changing love starts with an ordinary act of obedience. So to help you think about this as we close, look, if you haven't exercised, don't expect to run 5 miles today. If you haven't prayed in months, don't start with a goal, I'm going to pray for an hour today. If you haven't read your Bible in a long time, probably not good to start in Leviticus. You're going to get lost. It just doesn't happen that way. Usually, it starts with small acts of obedience, and that gets us started. And from there, things grow. And so here's my challenge for us this morning. As we think about showing the love of Christ to this world, where is God calling you to start? Joseph changed the world by fostering Jesus as a Savior of the world. It started with a simple decision to love Mary, right where she was, right in that situation. And it literally grew to something huge. Where is God challenging you this Advent season to love in such a way? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this, as I'd like to say, a reminder. As we read your word, it reminds us of who you are, what you're like, what you care about, the mission that was your son Jesus for this world to save us, to love us right where we are, and to leave an example for us to follow. God, in this one situation here, when it comes to calling to love in the midst of hard things, that's not something we have to go looking for. I really believe each one of us probably has a situation even right now that we're trying to figure out, how do we move forward? How do I do this? And God, I just pray, Lord, that people would be reminded here this morning, it doesn't happen in their own strength. It happens when they fully put their trust in you and depend on you. And when that happens, your presence brings love, real love. So God, as we go through our days, our weeks, our months, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would start with what's in front of us and that we would wholly depend on you and immerse ourselves in dependence of you to do the things that are hard, the things that bother us, the things that trouble us. And ultimately, Lord, we pray that you would get the glory for it, that you would be praised and that people would come to know who you are and what you're like. God, thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us and giving us your Spirit. We are so much stronger in you than we realize. I pray this Christmas, Lord, that we would be able to show this town, the surrounding areas, our families, wherever it is that you have us, what real love looks like. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.